You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we're beginning in verse 12. Jesus has been baptized and then gone through a period of extreme temptation while he was fasting. Now his public ministry begins in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea, and the region across the Jordan, followed him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus hears that John is in prison, and he goes out to Galilee, the area which, by the way, in my opinion, is by far the most beautiful over there. I was very, very pleased when I went to Israel to see that Jesus had chosen to spend most of his time in an area that we would consider an extremely desirable place. That's an aside, but I just think you should know there are times when we feel like in order to be obedient to God, we need to go somewhere that's really desolate. Jesus, in obedience to the Father, did go out into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days. But I'm happy to say that he went back to Galilee. Because in Galilee, you've got these lush green hills and the beautiful Sea of Galilee, and it's a lovely place to be. I mean, it's where I'd want to live if I was told to settle over there. Jesus went back to that place, but not just because it was beautiful, but because it was exactly what the Father had said he was to do. It says this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And it gives the quote. Now, was Jesus saying, "Oh my goodness, let's see, I've got all these prophecies I've got to fulfill"? No, because, for example, one of the prophecies was concerning where he was to be born. And that's not something over which we have a great deal of control, is it? We don't exactly decide in the womb, "I think I'd like to be born in the next county." It doesn't work that way. But God had ordained all of his steps. And you and I need to realize that God not only plans, but God fulfills his plans. God brought this to pass, and it was exactly as the prophet had spoken. In order to have Jesus born in Bethlehem, he arranged for everybody to have to go back to the area where their family line was rooted. And that's how Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, was because they were of the house and lineage of David. Well, likewise here, Jesus going to this area in Galilee was the fulfillment of God's plan. But Jesus simply did what not only made sense, but he did as he was directed by the Holy Spirit, even as he had gone out into the wilderness in obedience to the Spirit's leading. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach. What did he say? Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, what had John been saying? John had been saying, repent. Repent. We've talked about this before, but to repent is a change of mind that results in a change of direction. And it really is good news, because God's saying you don't have to keep doing the stupid stuff you've been doing. You don't have to just repeat your mistakes over and over and over and over again. Things don't have to stay the way they are. You can change. You can change. And that's good news. Imagine if you hit your thumb with a hammer and then realized, oh my goodness, I am destined to hit my thumb with a hammer over and over and over and over. Would that be sad? Would that be sad? Absolutely. But I know people who live that way. They think that because they're caught in some addiction or whatever, that they, well, it's just the way I am. I can't change. It runs in my family. I've always been this way. And I just kind of... It's not true. By God's grace, you can change. Repent, Jesus says, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, please notice he says the kingdom of heaven is near. Here's your thing to write down, okay? The good news is about the kingdom. The good news is about the kingdom. Jesus went out proclaiming the good news. The good news of what? It was the good news of the kingdom. He says, repent, because the kingdom is near. What makes it a kingdom? Is it geography? Is Galilee? Is that the kingdom? No. It's not about geography. It's about relationship. Who is king? Why was the kingdom near wherever Jesus went? Because he's the king. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And many, many people saw him and saw the amazing things he did and yet refused to receive him as their king. But it didn't change his being king. Our country right now is going through a political process, and within a short period of time, if everything goes as it has in the past, which nothing's been going as it has in the past lately, but if everything goes as it has in the past, we're going to elect not a king or a queen. We're going to elect a president. And that is the person who leads one of three branches of government. Guess what? Jesus is not running for office. And he doesn't lead one of the branches of government. He is ruler over all. Jesus Christ is Lord. So it doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, young or old. Jesus is still Lord. You don't have to vote for him. Regardless of your attitude toward him, he is Lord. And that's good news. That is good news. It's good news that he's the king. Because if it was up to us to choose somebody to be our ruler, we could be pretty much counted on to do a bad job and pick somebody who we're going to regret. Okay? But happily, Jesus is Lord. And you and I need to let that sink in and realize that whatever else is happening, God's promises are still being fulfilled, and Jesus Christ is Lord. Whatever happens in society, whatever happens to the economy, whatever happens to our military, whatever happens to our status in the world, Jesus' position is not in peril. He rules over all. Now, what does that mean for you? Well, if you know Jesus and you're submitting your life to Him, it means you can have peace in the midst of the storm. It means that when things are really tough and circumstances are painful, whether you're ill or injured or what have you, whatever you're going through, you can have peace knowing that Jesus Christ is still in control and He's working things out for your good. I heard the popular Christian song on the way here this morning. He's making diamonds. I like that. When the pressure's on, He's making diamonds. He's making diamonds out of dust. He's making diamonds out of us. In order for a diamond to be formed, there has to be extraordinary pressure exerted. And sometimes in order for us to be the beautiful thing that God intends, we have to go through a period of great stress and pressure. But it's not because God has forgotten us. It is because God is working on us. And He's making something beautiful. So Jesus went out preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." In order for us to be in right relationship with the King, we have to change. We have to change. Now, we don't have to do it in our own power, thank God. Because if I had to fix myself, I would never get fixed. But when we turn to Him and say, "Have mercy on me," we find His power at work in us to change us. And we are able to be changed. Whatever our issues. "No, I don't know. I've really had this problem a long time." Really? And you're how old now? And so let me just tell you some good news. You can change. I had a lady in a nursing home in Massachusetts that I was ministering to. She was part of a Sunday school class that I taught. She didn't want to be there. They would wheel her into the room just to get her out of their hair for an hour. And they'd wheel her in. She was horribly crippled with arthritis, very painful, and found it hard to move. And she would sit there and jiggle her wheelchair the whole time I was teaching in order to try to get her back to me. Because she was sending a message, "I don't want to be here. I don't like you. I don't like what you're doing." And week after week, I would just try and be kind to her and preach the truth. And you know what? We were going through Mark's Gospel, and when we got into chapter 5, which was some weeks down the road, when we got into chapter 5, Caro Dodge gave her life to Jesus Christ. And I mean, she was changed. She was 89 years old. And her life was absolutely changed, and the staff couldn't believe it. She was inviting other people to come to the Bible study. She was saying nice things to nurses. It was just, they came to me and they said, "We've never seen this kind of a change in a patient before. Never." Well, you know, that's what Jesus does. He changes us. And let me tell you, He can change you. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too bad. Repent. Get right with the King. Ask Him to take control of your life. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. And the kingdom is right here, right now. So, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter. Now, he wasn't called Peter yet. He would be called Peter later. The people who are getting this letter have heard of him. He's a famous fellow at this point. Peter, okay? Jesus gives him that name later on. He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, we said that when you come into right relationship with Jesus, it involves repentance because you need to receive Him as Lord, Master, Ruler, the Boss. What did repentance look like for these guys who were fishermen? Well, they had to give up fishing because fishing is a bad thing. No, fishing is not a bad thing. What they had to do was obey Jesus. You may be a furniture salesman. And God says, I want you to go to Mozambique. And you think, is there really a need for furniture salesmen in Mozambique? Well, there's a need for people who will share the love of Jesus in Mozambique. And if God calls you there, you need to go. I don't really want to go anywhere. I really kind of like it right here. Well, who is Lord? Who's the boss? Who's in charge? If Jesus Christ is Lord, then our goal is to do what He says. And if He says stay, you need to stay.
But I don't want to stay.
If Jesus says stay, you need to stay. If Jesus says go, you need to go. Jesus told these fishermen who were not doing something sinful, they were simply doing something that is a legitimate means of making a living. They were involved in the family business. They were working hard. There was no criminal activity going on here. They were just doing something that was totally legitimate. And Jesus said, I have other plans for you. Come follow me. And they said, okay, let me make some arrangements. Where can I meet up with you? Is that right? No. Stopped what they were doing and they followed him immediately. That's the kind of heart that's a repentant heart. That's the kind of heart that recognizes Jesus as Lord. Jesus says, do something, you want to do it right then. Okay, Lord, I'm ready to go. Well, what about all this other stuff? Nothing else matters. It's all going to burn. Don't worry about that stuff. But I had plans. Well, guess what? You don't now. The only thing that matters is doing what He says. But can't we work out some kind? Who's in charge here? Jesus said, come, follow me. Immediately they left their nets and followed Him. Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, I know that's some kind of metaphor because, I mean, like they were fishermen. And now he's talking fishers of men. That's kind of a play on words. What does that mean exactly? In the past, their focus, the way they made their living, was trying to catch fish. Jesus says, now your focus is going to be enlisting people in the kingdom of God. You're going to go after humans, not fish. Now, I don't have time for it this morning. You can go online and find the sermon elsewhere, but look for a sermon called Gone Fishing. It talks about what it takes to be an effective fisherman for Jesus, reaching people. But let me tell you something. Jesus used an expression that would have meaning and significance for these guys. And even though they did not fully understand the implications by any stretch, Jesus knew exactly what he was saying, and they obeyed. They followed him. Do you have to have everything figured out and understand it all before you can follow Jesus? Absolutely not. These folks didn't, but they knew this much. They knew that he said, "Follow me," and they obeyed. And that needs to be our approach. You follow him as best you understand what it is he's asking you to do. And he'll take it from there. He'll guide you. He didn't say, "You follow me when you become fishers of men." He didn't say, "You follow me and turn yourselves into fishers of men." Jesus said, "You follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men." He's the one who will change us from the inside out. If you follow him, he'll change you. You can count on that. Is that clear? You might want to write that down. So, Jesus went throughout Galilee. One more point about verse 22. They left the boat, in verse 22, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Did you know that sometimes, in order for us to be in right relationship with Jesus, it puts a little distance between us and family members? Oh, I think we need to focus on the family. I think the family, that's the most important thing. You know, blood is thicker than water. I think the important thing is just that, you know, you make sure all your family relationships are good and that everybody in the family is happy. And frankly, if my family members aren't happy, I just can't be happy. I feel like I need to do whatever it takes in order to make the other people around me happy, because that's the only way I can be happy, and I do want to be happy. So I have to work really hard at making sure that everybody else is happy. Get over it. You'll never be successful at making everybody around you happy. And the most important thing is not their happiness or yours. The most important thing is doing what the Lord commands. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, guys, I'm going on a journey. Anybody want to join me? I have some neat ideas about what could happen with your future. Why don't you follow me and see what that looks like?" Jesus didn't do that. He said, "Come follow me." Sounds like an order. It is. "Come follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men." Now, verse 23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Glad to hear it. The good news of the kingdom. It's about a relationship with the king. And that's what Jesus was talking about. And that's what he was displaying. He was manifesting the fact that he is Lord. He healed people. All kinds of people. With all kinds of problems. But the purpose was to demonstrate that he is the promised Messiah. He's the one they've been looking for. He is Lord. He's stronger than sickness. He's stronger than demons. He's stronger than armies. He is Lord. And so when Jesus encountered these various problems, they were no match for him. News about him spread all over Syria. That's not part of Galilee. That's a country up to the north. Much in the news these days. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were suffering or who were ill with various diseases. Those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. And his fame spread all around, and large crowds followed him. What's going on? Well, healing. That's what's going on. Let me ask you a question. I think healing is great. I've experienced healing personally, and I've seen God work to heal other people miraculously, instantaneously. It is wonderful. I'm very grateful that God still heals people today. But let me tell you something. Every single one of these people who got healed died. A doctor friend of mine, who's now in heaven, said, I performed thousands of surgeries during my career. And almost everyone that I operated on, he was an old man when he said this, almost everyone that I operated on is now dead. He said, not because I operated on them, but in spite of the fact that surgery was able to improve their condition. They got better. They lived longer. And then they died. Let's suppose that you have a life-threatening illness and God in His mercy decides, I'm going to heal that. And He heals it. Wow! That means I'll never be sick again, though. It means you're going to die of something else. So, YouTube video the other day on Facebook, somebody had posted. It's of a guy who steals something from someone else and runs out in the road and gets hit by a car. It was one of those security cameras at a restaurant. And this guy's sitting there and this other fellow walks past, sees that this guy's got something that he wants, and so he turns around, comes back, grabs it, and tries to run across the road. When he goes running out across the road, boom, hit by a car. Don't you wish that justice would always be that swift? But the thing is, for a split second there, the guy thought, ha-ha, I'm free. I got it. I did it. I accomplished my... Boom. Let me tell you something. Life is short. The Bible says we're like the flowers of the field. You know, one minute we're like this, and the next minute we're like this, and the next minute we're like that. That's reality. Gravity will take a toll on your body. Okay? My cheeks used to be here. They're now here. It's just, you know, gradually things. I used to have a chest. Now I have a gut. It's all going down. My feet, I have to wear larger shoes than I used to. It's my calf muscles have moved down to my ankles and no, I'm really not all that bad off. But I know what's coming. One of these days, probably in about 40 years, I'll die. Say, 40 years, Pastor, that's a long time. Not when you're 62. Okay? Well, yeah, 40 years is still a long time. No, because every year is shorter. I told Miss Becky the other day as I was reminded that I need to write another thank you letter for this month. I've decided that recently every month has just 2 weeks. Because that's what it feels like, you know? There are about 3 days to a week and about 2 weeks to a month and about maybe 6 months to a year. I mean, you guys realize we're coming up on Reformation celebration. We just had Reformation celebration. And as soon as Reformation celebration is over, we're going to go to sleep and wake up and it'll be Thanksgiving break. And we'll say, goodness, how did that happen? And everyone will say, Merry Christmas. It's like, oh, this is going too fast. Let me just tell you something. The reason Jesus healed these people was in order to display the fact that He really is who He claimed to be. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's stronger than illness, and all the things that are signs of the curse, signs of the fall, reminders of our brokenness, all of those things are temporary. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so He went out preaching repentance, which is good news. You don't have to stay the way you are. You can change by God's grace and receive Him as your King. If you haven't done that, I pray that you will. If you have not trusted Jesus to be the one in control of your life, yielded yourself to Him, please don't put it off. Trust Him. Obey Him. He loves you more than you know. And He's ready to meet you even today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that because of Your grace, we don't have to run the other way. We thank You that the message Jesus gives us about the kingdom really is good news. That the call to repentance really is good news. That the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord really is the greatest news in history. Thank You that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that because of Your grace, we can be forgiven and made whole. And that all the sicknesses we have in this life are temporary. And a day is coming when those who are in Christ Jesus will have every tear wiped away. And there will be no more sickness or sadness. No more goodbyes. Father, many of us have a real burden about family members. I pray that You would help us to follow the example of these early disciples who knew the best thing they could do for their family was to follow Jesus. Grant that we would do the same. And we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.